All right, we are back. We are back. We are back.
Yes, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back for another great episode of the Jason
and Justin Show.
Guys, we want to thank you so much for joining us on this journey. This idea was a product of Justin's because he has a great mind over there.
I do. And because we listen to podcasts like
we OD on podcasts all the time. And this is just an opportunity for us to, you know, share our love with one another and capture this moment in time. You know, we are coming from two different perspectives and we are going to talk about these topics and interview these people based on our generational perspectives. And so we're glad that you've been able to join with us on this journey. We do appreciate it. But with JJ, we got some stats too.
Yeah.
Okay. Because the people are supporting this podcast.
That's good to hear.
Oh man, it's great to hear. So we have three episodes so far, right?
Correct.
First episode's called Who Are We? That first episode has 111 plays.
Okay, that's what's up.
Second episode, Stories on Sports and Music, 53 plays. 53 plays.
Okay.
Yeah, that's dope. And then Signing Day. Last episode we just had 97 plays.
Already?
Already. So that's dope. And it says that we have an estimated audience size of 85 people. Now, some folks be like, well, you know, 85 people, that's not a lot of people. But just picture 85 people.
You always have to picture, like, 85 people in, like, a room.
In a room.
That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people that's paying attention to what you and I are talking about. And that's pretty doggone dope, man. Yeah. So shout out to everybody for joining in on this journey with us. You had a pretty good weekend this weekend, JJ.
I did. Yesterday I went to my school to go watch a movie with some of the rest of the seniors.
Yeah.
Having a senior movie night.
Yep.
And we watched A Quiet Place.
Okay.
It's actually a pretty good movie.
A Quiet Place. It's weird, ain't it?
I mean, kind of.
You were telling me about this movie on the way home, and it was pretty weird.
I mean, well, yeah, most scary movies are pretty weird. Like, look at Chucky. It's a doll that came to life and now wants to kill people.
JJ, that's pretty weird.
Yeah, it is pretty weird. But in The Quiet Place, the last scene, the chick shoots one of the monsters in the face with a shotgun, and that's awesome to me.
So, yeah, because it's a monster.
Yeah, and because it's a shotgun.
And it's a shotgun. You like the book, the book, book, book. Hit that thing. You want to...
I'm going to keep catching you with that.
What'd you what?
You said the book. Buckshot.
I was saying buckshots. I want to hit
you. Were not saying buckshot. You said buck. What is that? That's not buckshot.
Is this what we're going to do?
Yes, this is what we're going to do.
Okay.
Okay. It's here for a reason.
Okay. I'm going to remember that.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to remember that. Right. But anyway, you had a good time, right?
I did. It was great. And I got some really good popcorn. If y'all have not tried the Skinny Pop birthday cake popcorn, there's something wrong in your life.
It's good?
Man. It doesn't sound good.
Yeah.
Because those two flavors should not mix. But for some reason they do, and for some reason it works.
Yeah, the sweet and salty.
Yeah. Like it's not sweet and salty. It's just sweet.
It's just sweet? Sweet.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, you know what? I think it's about that time, JJ.
Is it?
Because we always open the show with the Snapple Fact of the Day. So one time for JJ, the Snapple Fact for the Day.
All right, here we go. Real fact number 1,471. The Apollo 11 guidance computer was no more powerful than today's pocket calculator.
Stop.
So, the guidance computer that helped the first ship and the first man land on the moon was no more powerful than my calculator in my book bag.
Wow.
And this is pocket calculator. So I'm thinking it was is like a TI-84.
Right.
More powerful than that computer?
Right. Because Apollo, what year was Apollo?
19-something. It was during the, was it during the Cold War?
What was the lady's name? Because they had human computers. You remember the black Hidden Figures?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so it was the black women who were doing the majority of the math
yeah.
that made sure that they were able to even make it from Earth to the moon in the first place. Mm-hmm. So that makes sense that it wouldn't be that, you know, powerful. That powerful, because you already had a black woman who you should always trust.
Oh, yeah.
making sure that things were right.
Yeah. And, so, like, I'm pretty sure if they did have a computer, it was probably the size about this room.
This whole wing of the house, the whole side, the whole thing back of the house. So absolutely, that's what it was. So one time for the Snapper Fact of the Day, man. Thank you so much for that.
Snapper, please sponsor us.
Hold on, wait till the people start clapping. Stop clapping. Say that one more time, JJ.
Snapper, please sponsor us.
Snapper, go ahead and sponsor a Snapple Fact of the Day on the Jason and Justin show.
I would love to get like a lifetime supply of Snapple.
JJ, tell us real quick, how much do you love Snapple?
Bro, I don't even think there's a word to describe how much I love Snapple. Like, it's just perfect. Yeah. It's so good. For no reason. Like, they have all these different flavors. They have the Snapple apple. Yeah. They got the kiwi strawberry. And then they got, like, five different kinds of tea. Have you ever had lemon tea before?
I have had lemon tea before.
Like, that wasn't in Snapple?
But just like, you know, just growing up and
stuff. Right. I have never had lemon tea before until Snapple came through with the lemon tea. And let me tell you, it's good. And there's another Snapple one with, like, green caps. That's like this watermelon kind.
Okay.
Delicious.
Yeah,
see. Superb.
So, Snapple, we need y'all to step y'all game up. Listen to us. We're just, you know, a father and son. Just looking for some support over here, man. So shout out to you. Mm-hmm. Shout out to you, JJ, for the Snapple Fact. That was what's up. That's a good fact for the day. And today, Justin, is an absolutely special day.
Yeah, that it is.
We have our first guest on the show. And this guest is actually a friend of the show.
He is.
He is our first official friend of the show. Coming from Central Georgia. One of the youngest juvenile justice workers in the state. Move on to create the Power of the Knot, the Power of the Purse, the Hype for Education Conference. And on top of all that, the inventor of the Yono Clip.
Yes, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, stand to your feet. Put your hands together. Make a joyful noise for my friend, my homeboy.
You don't need this big clap.
My partner. Mr. Bob Mackey in the building. Let's give it up for him.
Yes, y'all.
That's right. Look, you gotta, when your friends get here, you got to bring them to the stage. Like, you know this, you got to bring them to the stage.
Yeah.
Bob, thank you for being here, man.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
Jay,
man.
And Jay.
Yes, sir.
You know, get a little more in there. Yes, sir.
We do appreciate you taking your time. And Bob is in studio, so we're not doing this on the phone. And he took the time out of his day to come to us, sit in our makeshift studio office here, and do this podcast with us.
I love it, man. It's all about, you know, creativity can be formed anywhere.
That's it.
You know, it doesn't take, as they consider, you know, the big end studios, the drop mics and everything. Everything you need, you can have, you know. And right here, this is awesome.
This is what we need, right?
This is really it.
That's it.
Creativity can't be contained, and y'all are making it work.
Making it work.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And thanks to you, because if not for you, well, I would have spent a lot more money. And you had, like, a lot of stuff on hand that you weren't using. You had this mic stand. You had the drum pad. You had the MIDI keyboard, speakers. And you helped us out just off the love. We'll talk about our friendship in a moment here.
Yeah.
But we're going to start this off a little different. I know Justin has some questions for you.
Gotcha.
And he's going to reach out. And we're going to kick this thing off, man.
Let's do it.
The young grasshopper. Ask this question to you.
All right, I got six questions.
Okay.
So
it was at five.
We're gonna go through.
I just thought of the sixth one.
Go to your best question first, because we may not have, you know,
too much
time. But okay, you feel me.
So of course, this first question is going to be obvious.
Okay.
When and where did you first think of the idea for the Yono Clip?
Excellent question.
Yeah, good question. Good question. So the idea came in, and I'll just give you the canned story. Mm-hmm. But the idea came in. I was at the gym and tripped over a bag, asked the associate, hey, can y'all put some hooks on the wall? Mm-hmm. And the associate was like, nah, that's what we got lockers for. I was like, aight then. You know, I got lockers for that. I get it,
yeah.
But it's not helping me because I don't want to spend my time walking to the locker and disappear. Mm-hmm. By the time you get on this phone right here and you 15 minutes gone.
It's a done deal.
And so I was like, okay. I said, well, I asked the question. I said, well, can I put something on your wall or machine? He said, as long as it doesn't damage the wall and damage the machine, you're good.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, man, okay. So I took the, I started back, I jumped on the elliptical, mm-hmm. started moving a little bit. I took the napkin that I had, and I was like, man, what do I need? So I went and got a pen, and I just started sketching it out while I was working out.
Really?
Yeah, it's crazy.
So you were on the elliptical.
On the elliptical, working out.
Drawing out.
Drawing it out.
How are you drawing it on an elliptical at the same time?
Yeah. So, for those of you who are not familiar with what an elliptical is, picture, what is that? It's like the snow, you know, like the long distance snow.
Long distance skiing,
how they're just going back and forth. That's kind of like what the elliptical replicates.
Yeah, you're
so imagine him doing this and sketching
at the same idea. Time. Like, you're moving up and down, back and forth, really, like, I won't say violently, but, like, it's a significant movement.
So it's an awkward feeling to be on the elliptical. And you're drawing, and you're sketching doing the same thing.
Yeah, that's and crazy. I just needed to get it out. And it's like, sometimes it doesn't matter where when it's there, you got to do what you need to do to get it out.
Mm-hmm.
And so after that moment, which people don't know, but when I finished up my workout, I was like, oh man, it hit me like, I think I got something here. It hit me.
Right.
And so I get in the car and I was like, I gotta call my dude, tell him about it, right? I gotta call him. And I called Jay.
You called him.
Yeah, most people don't know. I called Jason, first person I called. I was like, dude, hey, listen to this because, you know, A, B, and C, you know, and he was like, man, that's a game changer, you know. And we got off the phone, and I went home after my sketch, you know, after the sketch, I sent it to a friend who's a designer, CAD designer. But by that time, I was already doing all kinds of stuff with it. You know, I actually had like 4 different sketches. And so it was like, oh, man, this is it.
Yeah.
So sent it to him, and he sent back some drawings.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, this is really it, right?
Right. Yeah.
You know, because when you look at my sketch versus his drawings, and I saw it, I said, oh. So he said, why didn't I think of that?
Right.
Yeah. I was like, well, he said it again. He was like, why didn't I think of that? I was like, what you thinking? You know, he was like, this is just brilliant. And so now I've had Jay say, hey, this is game changer. Then a guy who does this for a living sees thousands and thousands of everything, ideas, concepts, said the same thing. So I was like, cool. So what I did next was I sat on it for about a week because I wanted to make sure I started researching, you know, just looking, see what's out there. Because the first person, I was like, it has to be a suction. And I started looking at what's out there. And I was like, ain't nothing out here like this. Like, at all.
Right.
And, you know, at all. And that was
one of one.
Yeah, right. It was it. And so what I did next was the following week, I posted on Facebook, like, hey, I got this grand idea. Is anyone financially down? You know, how much would it cost? I'm not for sure. But I knew, already had the sketch, already had the drawings,
right.
Everything, the name thought, you know, was like, hey, you know, this is it. Only 6 people said, I guess, you know, I'll think about it. You know, it sounds like okay, you know, and I didn't tell everybody what the idea was.
Of course.
But I'm like, well, at least y'all could just hear me out, you know.
Right.
And then Michael Green, who is now a co-founder of the Yonoclip.
Shout out to Michael Green. Yeah. Science Machine.
Shout all out. Day. Yes, you know, and he was like, hey, Bob, I'm going to call you. I was like, cool. You know, call me. And after you hear, hey, I'm going to call you, you know, he's just like, okay. So it didn't matter. Whoever called is going to make it work. You know, right. That's the direction. And Michael said, hey, I'm going to call you back tomorrow. Because I told him the scenario.
Right.
And I said, you know, this is what it is. And he said, okay, well, I'm going to go check my gym out.
Mm-hmm.
He walked into his gym, exact same thing. What right. I saw, bags on the floor, right. you know, people just being negligent with their belongings. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much, so we came back together. We formed the Yono Clip LLC in July of 2020, right? And we were on Shark Tank in September of 2020.
Pause sad. Right there. Which one is it? This one?
Say what? Yeah, think about it. We, ladies and gentlemen, we have a whole sticky note.
He's not going to let me live, man.
That literally tells you which one is which.
Wow.
And still, he had to think about it.
So as I was saying... You formed the LLC in July.
Yes.
And you were on, you went to go record Shark Tank in September.
September.
July, August.
Correct.
September.
That's 3 months.
3 months.
Not even three months because it was the middle of July when we formed the company.
So it's about like two and a half months.
Yeah.
That's really
and
fast.
Yeah, we went Absolutely. On.
We like, so like 10 weeks.
Yeah, yeah. We were there, you know. Wow. And having and not having the product fully developed.
Because you know? When we spoke, this was right before COVID. So I want to say January, February, right?
Yeah, it was February.
So this was all, it was February yeah, when we talked. Yeah, it so was this was week, all 2020.
A couple weeks, 3 weeks before COVID.
That's right. Yeah, like end of February because yep. I was getting ready to come back. That's yep. right. Mm-hmm. Yep. So you and I had the conversation. You go through all this. We get all the way, Mike Green signs on. He signs on when? In July?
Or he no, signs on like... He signs on in March.
March. Yeah, and so right, you got to yeah. get the discussion about what needs to happen and boom, bam, bip. July, you start the LLC.
Yeah.
And by that point, where are you with the development of the 3D printing and all that?
Well, we did a 3D model printing, you know, sample, basically. They call it a prototype in the real world.
Okay.
But it was just to see and... You know, the first one was like, oh, man, this thing ain't going to work.
Yeah.
I knew it would work. It just, that one did not work.
Right.
You know, the concept was it did what it was supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
You put it on something and it hung that item up.
Yeah.
That's what it was. But it did not have whatever suction was on there. That's all you had.
Okay.
So no extra anything. When it fell, it fell. I mean, that was it.
You know. You just hope to stay up.
Yeah, you just hope. Just boom. You know, that was it. Yeah. So we did that one with the first prototype. And after that, I mean, that was in... Well, let me back up a little bit. In June, March. So in April, a month later... I called Michael and I was like, hey, dude. He was like, what's up, Bob? I was like, I just applied for Shark Tank.
Like, you just gonna say that? Like,
yeah,
what?
Yeah, right.
We don't even know if we have a working product yet.
Right. Correct.
But here's the special thing about that, because we talked February and I think you had called me around April, late March, when we came home, we're like, man, we going to Shark Tank, and the product isn't even ready yet.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, like, yeah. We going to Shark Tank. Yeah. The product isn't even there, so it's like, yo, this dude has it, man. And let me back up a little bit too, because when we talked, he was like, we got this clip. I want to do this clip. I can use it in the gym and to hold my bag in the gym. I'm like, dude, what you're telling me, this goes way beyond the gym.
Yeah, that's right.
Use this in the office. You can see this in the classroom. Anywhere. Right. You can use this in the classroom.
That's right.
And I'm giving him all these other ideas for where this Yono Clip can go. I'm like, dude, this is just a practical, universal product.
This is something that anyone should have thought of a long time ago.
That's right. Okay. And what I told him, I'm like, you have to do this.
Yeah. It was like, yeah.
It was done.
At that point, yeah.
It was it. So I had to, like, he had to do it.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't going to be done
if
it wasn't you.
That's right.
All right. So you got to, you call down to Shark Tank in April, LLC in July. Correct. Yeah. And in the span of 3 months, we're in July. We're still prototyping.
Yes. Well, right at July, we have more of a concrete prototype.
Okay.
Right? So it was working, but the mechanics. So what the initial, when you look at the reverse mechanics, because when people talk about, hey, we want to patent this, we want to patent that.
Yeah.
It's like you got to have something to patent that's not already there.
That's right.
I can't sell Mr. E because Mr. E sells himself unless I pay him to sell Mr. E.
That's it.
So with the patent, we had to figure out what's different from our Yono clip than you would find in any other suction.
Right.
And it's reverse mechanics.
Ah.
So most suctions push in to suction. Think about it.
Yes, right.
Ours pull out to suction.
Nope.
Wrong button again. Stop. Stop. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. Don't you do
it. I'll sit back. I'll let it slide.
Give me one. I got my friend here, man, trying to stay on point. So the reverse suction,
yes,
is that's the one, and that's you got the patent on.
Yeah, that's right.
That's yours. So anybody can say, hey, reverse suction. You can't do it.
Yes.
Until you call Bob Mack.
Yes.
Until you call Mike Green, call the Yono Clip LLC, so that they can also use the reverse.
That's right. Because you would never see it. Just like right there, boom.
And so when it does that, and I have one in my hand, I know you can't see, but I'm demonstrating for JJ. That little piece, doing that right there, is patented by Bob Mackie.
Yeah.
So no one else can do that.
Nobody else can do it until they
have to get permission from Yono Clip LLC for that. And what we did a base provisional patent, and you can, you know, there are three types of patent, you know, the utility, you know, and I always call it appearance patent.
Yeah.
But the most important thing, when you look at functionality, is how do you make it work like nobody else make it work?
Right.
You know?
Right.
And that's initially what that is.
It's so dope, man. And I want to, we're going to try to visualize this since we're on the podcast. I have a Yono clip in my hand. It's about a little larger than the size of my palm, right? Mm-hmm. I do not have a small hand, I'll say that. But it fits right in my palm. I want to say about 2 inches wide.
About
2 inches wide. And it's in a circle, perfect circle on the bottom. On the bottom of it is a suction cup, and you see the Yono Clip logo on the top. And it's the actual clip that you actually put on the wall. And so you just pull that out. Well, you put on the wall, non-porous, right?
Yes, non-porous, press-pull-hang.
Press-pull-hang, that's right. That's the marketing.
Right. Yeah. So press-pull-hang.
You put on the wall, press-pull-hang. And hang.
And hang your items.
When you pull it, you get the reverse suction, so it stays there and makes it, you can hold heavier things, 15 pounds. And
up to 15 pounds, and that's, you know, surface pending, because what happens is every surface is different.
It's different, right?
So for me, it's like we advise, hey, walls are okay, but every paint finish is different.
That's right.
So it may hang on a semi-gloss wall of mine, but you may have flat paint.
Yes.
It probably won't work. Yeah, it won't work as well. And then also, there's this thing called invisible dust. Well, as we know, dust, you know, it's just like glass. I mean, it's there. Sometimes you can't see it.
That's right.
You know, and it creates a little trouble when it comes to the suction.
Absolutely. And that has to be said because, you know, folks love poking holes into everything.
For sure.
The review, folks who leave these reviews, they always find anything wrong with everything.
Yeah.
So it's good that you make that clear for everybody. So, but it is something that I know I'm going to keep forever. I'm going to keep it right in my bag right here. I'm going to take it everywhere whenever we travel or whatever. I'm going to have this because it helps keep your bags off the floor.
Free from germs and dirt.
Right. And so, like, we're in that time right now where everybody's wary of touching stuff.
Yeah.
Right. Don't touch my stuff. I don't want to put it on your floor, your seat, or nothing. I'm going to put it on the wall. Press, pull, hang.
That's right.
Press, pull, hang. That's a winner.
That's it. So thank you for that, brother. We got another question, JJ.
Okay.
Yes, we do. So, since you were on Shark Tank, what were your thoughts before going on Shark Tank, and what was it like when you actually got there?
I think I can speak for Michael and myself, is the experience was incredible. Knowing that we would go places And let me back a little bit, because this is the thing about men. We love to be the first.
Yeah.
You know, and knowing you'll be able to go to a place that not many people have been with the number one, voted number one business show in America. You know, that's kind of like making it in the early 2000s, the Silicon Valley.
Right, right.
You know,
that's right.
That's for us the equivalent of that. So having that experience was, it felt a little cheesy, but it and I don't want to sound like I'm bragging, but it didn't feel any different than I am here now.
Yeah.
Because it's like I belong here. Like everywhere we are in life, we make an appointment to be there.
That's it.
And that was the appointment when the YoNo clip was made. I was prepared to go anywhere with anybody to do anything, you know, to make it happen. That's so, it. You know, it was just Shark Tank, you know, the light speed behind it has been incredible.
Absolutely.
But to be on the stage and when you walk out, I know Michael uses the double door analogy. But you're standing there, right? So you walk out, come through the doors, and then you walk down the hallway, right? At that moment, a lot of people probably had some, excuse my language, but some oh shit moments. Like, right, oh shit, what have I got myself?
That's right. Like, what is about to happen?
Yeah, yeah. Because if you're not fully prepared and understand your business, it's not about understanding business. It's about knowing your business when you walk out there. So if you don't understand your business and what makes everything go round, then initially it doesn't work, you know, from that end.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right, man. But that's outstanding. I can imagine. And I think this goes also back to your background with speaking. Your background with the Boys and Girls Club, your background with the Power of the Knot, like you and Michael also with the Science Machine.
Yeah, for sure.
Being in front of a crowd and being in front of with the spotlight on you, it's not a foreign thing.
No, no, no. You just, you know, it's kind of like when you know you're built for it, you're built for it.
You're built for
it. You know, yeah, and it's kind of like as a comedian. Kevin Hart doesn't think once about telling a joke in front of people. Yeah. Sometimes he don't want to tell a joke, but he tells it anyway.
Right.
Because he's in, that's who he is. Mm-hmm. And when you get an audience and you can share love, it's going to be two things that are going to happen. People are either going to love you or hate you. One way or the other, right?
Right.
And I'm not there to be concerned about the ones who don't like me.
Mm-hmm.
I got that moment. We're going to capitalize on this moment. And the thing that I told Michael was, we're going to bring something back with us.
That's
whether
it.
If it was a lamp, a shoe, you know, some glasses, you know, a couple of autographs, you know. But just going and knowing we were going to be there, that moment was just, it's an everlasting type of feeling that you get.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Absolutely. Do you have another question?
Was there a specific person from the Sharks that you wanted a deal from? And if so, who?
Specific. Yeah, that's another good question. Seriously, that's another good question. We were going to, as Joe said, go on the first thing smoking, but it wasn't that. It was when you research and do your due diligence, number one, when you see a product like the YoNo clip, you always think of QVC.
Yeah,
I'm an avid QVC watcher. Like, that's just, I can, when you get a certain age, everything looks cool.
Right.
You know, you just want to buy it, you know. And with Lori, it was like, man, if we, Lori, you know, she is Miss QVC.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, man, if we get with Lori and get this thing, then we can get it licensed and acquired and we're good, right?
Yeah.
We also looked at it as Mr. Wonderful, right? If we get Mr. Wonderful to say I do, right, that provides a level of credibility because he doesn't say I do often.
No, he doesn't.
You know, and we wanted, so when you look at everybody, that's those two, we really thought, okay, Lori and Mr. Wonderful. But as you saw on the show, you know, watching four people say no in front of you, it was like, oh man, that moment where you're like, man, we went from five to one.
Right.
In 5 minutes. Yeah. You know? And it's not about who at that point.
Right. It's about, like, just getting deep.
Yeah. That's when you had your old shit moment. Like, wait a minute.
Yeah. And that's when you see people when they start to break down, you know, they lose it.
Yeah.
Right? Because they're thinking that they're going to lose it. But like I say, where I'm from, it's like that opportunity. And I think Nas said all they need is one mic, you know.
That's it.
And that's it. Like, give me that chance and I will not disappoint you. Yeah. I'm not saying we're the best company, not saying we're the brightest company, but I'm saying you got two brothers who will do what we need to do to make sure this product is going to be its best.
Absolutely.
And only thing we need for you to do is to see that. So we had a few moments for him to, and him being Mr. Damon Johns, to really look and see, you know what, I like you all, I like the product, but a good combination with my help and resources, I could see this better than probably anybody else. And that was that moment. And Mr. Johns has one of the, I guess, best-selling products, one of, on Shark Tank.
Yeah.
Best-selling products on Shark Tank. Right. So it's all in all. You know, it's like, what do we got to lose?
Right.
That's, you know, right. That's so, right. Yeah, we wanted Lori. I'll say that. You know, Mr. Wonderful was out, but it was like, at that point, okay, what are we going to do?
That's it. That's what's up, man. That's what's up. Yeah. But the bottom line is, you got the deal.
Yeah, he did.
We have the deal, but I think the most important thing is that we show people that it's possible.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that not only can we go to accomplish something, but we accomplished it.
That's it.
You know, it's easy to say, hey, I played in the NBA Finals,
right?
But did you get the ring?
That's it.
You know, I mean, it's nothing wrong with playing there.
Yeah.
But when you get that ring, possibilities are endless. Like, you forever get paid.
That's right, right.
You know?
And you know, a lot of folks, they've done well even without getting the deal.
Oh, yeah,
big time. You know what I'm saying? But the folks who got the deal and got their stuff together, because once you get done, that's not the end of it.
That's right. Yeah.
So once you get done, once you get the deal and you're starting to get the work, now you have all the credibility. You have the success behind it. And you can point people to it and say, can say more than as seen on.
That's right. Yeah.
As seen when.
Yeah.
So that's an awesome thing. So you get the deal, and this is, you did taping in December, right? Or taping was September.
September.
So from September all the way to the airing of the show,
that's right,
there's a number of things that happen, right? As far as working with him, what are some of those things that happen after that we don't see? Because this is what we don't see on the show, right? You, once you win, you don't just win and they say, all right, we'll see you next time. Yeah. You actually, you know, have to work with these people. Like, they have to, you know, research you.
Right.
Think about, you know, who are these people we're working with. And
I'll get you a background check.
You got to do all the checks and all this. So tell us a little bit about that, if you can, whatever you can.
Yeah, I'll say, because we're under a lifetime non-disclosure.
Okay.
But I will say is that there's a due diligence process that it is, it really separates the companies who thought they were companies and the ones who really knew they were companies. And that process provides credibility to the deal.
Absolutely.
And the stats are basically, I knew them right off the top of my head, but they left me. But you have, let's say you have 100 companies who get the audition.
Mm-hmm.
So we beat out over 60,000 applicants, number one.
Mm.
60,000. They break it down. They you know, it comes, it, I think they drop it to about over 100 companies,
yeah,
right?
Wow.
Even though we went on Shark Tank, 40% of those companies who go in front of the sharks don't air, right? So that's, you could go on and I went on Shark Tank, and you don't air.
You don't even get on TV.
You know, you don't get on TV, right? So, you know, and they keep that discreet, Yeah. You know, because a lot of people, I remember, this reminds me of the Jamie Foxx moment, right? It really does. But he was, if I could share it, man. I
Go ahead, man.
Share it real quick. But yeah. He was talking about right before, when he was playing, come on, you know, the Raid. Yeah, you know, he was like, come on, man, you know. So he got a call from Oprah.
Okay.
And I don't know if y'all heard this, but she was like, Jamie, I want you to come over to the house. We're going to have, this is right before, well, I think the, what is it?
Oh,
the,
it was after he did Raid.
Yeah, after he did the Raid. Yeah. What was the, is it the Grammys or... He was nominated.
He was running for, not the Grammy, but the...
Oscar. Yeah, yes. Yeah. So, Oprah called him. He's like, hey, Jamie, you got to come over. And he was like, hey, Oprah, I'm about to go party. You know, I'm going to go turn up. Because he said they really didn't think they were going to win.
Right.
Right? So, he's like, I'm about to go turn up. And he said he walks into Oprah's home or wherever they were. And he started seeing all of these notable individuals, mm-hmm. right? He started seeing all of these notable individuals, and he walked, and Oprah said, yeah, that's great, but follow me. Mm. And he walks into this room, and a guy was standing with his back against, you know, facing the window, you know, and he started talking to him, and it was Sidney Poitier. Mm-hmm. And he was like, they were talking for a minute, but Oprah came back and said, the reason why we want you to understand this moment, she said, the only thing I want you to not do is blow it. Mm. It's like, don't blow it, you know. And for us, and I know for me, you have that moment,
yeah,
to where it's like, we're not gonna blow it just because we want to go out and tell the world that we own Shark Tank.
Yeah.
And that we're going, oh, like, hey, are we... It's like, no, we got 8 months of we don't know what they're going to do, what they're going to say.
Right.
We know what happened, but we can't go and publicize this because that could have been our chances. And they look at how you handle the media, number one, uh-huh. but how you handle the premature fame, mm. number two. Mm. And that's that part that it was like, yeah, we had 8 months of we don't know.
Yeah.
But we also, well, we had 8 months of you all didn't know.
Right, right.
But we had 8 months of, hey, we can't tell.
That's right.
And understanding and staying true to that. Because I didn't want one story to the wrong person could have jeopardized this entire mission.
The entire thing. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely, man. Well said. Mm-hmm. Well said. So... This is getting back to the numbers. 60,000 applicants that you beat out.
Yeah.
Then when you get there, there's some other folks. 40% of those don't even get. They don't even get on TV.
Let's ask Siri real quick. Hey Siri, what is 40% of 100?
Really?
Yes, really.
60%.
40% times 100 is
40. No. 100 people.
100 people. 40%.
Oh, we didn't 100. Say it was 100 people.
Oh, it was about 100 companies.
About 100 companies.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay.
40.
So 40 companies come with their ideas. Those 40 companies, they don't even get on TV.
It's crazy.
Then you actually get on the stage and you win. Mm-hmm. Do you have some stats on that? The percentage of winners or
yeah,
or
that, people that's, get there? That's even you, lower. You can win, lose, or draw.
Yeah.
And you could be in that 40%. You could be. And it's not because you got to think about it. It's business.
To it. Like, you got the people who don't make to the stage. So you got people who go up and don't get anything. Everybody's like, no, I'm out.
So yeah, people cannot go up there and still, like, win?
Yeah.
And not get shown on TV?
Yeah, you can go up there and win and still not be aired.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. You know, because it's all to think about. Television is entertainment.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right? But the show is business. Mm-hmm. So you got to find a good combination to where you have ratings, but you also have the investment side of what the show is about.
Right.
So it's everybody, you know, maybe you have a company who's like glued in and two, you know, they got everything. It's like, okay, they're good, but they don't need the show.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and then right. some of them, you have them up there and they'll show them. But it's like, why are you here? Mm-hmm. And that's the main question.
So they put that on there. Right.
It's like, why are you here? Like, seriously, like, tell mm-hmm. America. So it's like...
And so that's their opportunity. Even yeah, though we're yeah, not going to buy in, but I'm giving you this exposure.
Yep.
So that somebody that can see it can say, they can see the value in it.
That's
and
right.
Call
right.
later. So it could be a win, even though it's a loss.
Oh, yeah, it's a win big time. Anytime you can get it, and like you just said earlier about... Think about 89 people mm-hmm. that you're pitching. Mm-hmm. Think about 7 million people.
I can't even picture
that. That's you're in front of. So it doesn't matter if you win, lose, or draw. You're going to be remembered by a percentage of those folks, right? Absolutely. And you'll be able to forever have been on the number one business show in America. It's the longest business show. This is year 13. Mm-hmm. Highest ratings, Emmy nominated. Yeah. I mean, all. Just think about that. Mm-hmm. And then once you're on there, they can't remove that.
That's right. What's up, man.
They can't remove that.
That's what's up,
man. That's what's up, man.
I got one more question. Because we got to get into... We're going to get to this question, then we're going to get into a little bit of our history.
This question actually involves your history.
Is that right?
This is correct.
Well, come on then, JJ. Look at this kid, man. What are we going to do with him? I see him.
When and where did you two meet?
Man, this is the man. We met. It's crazy. Social media is amazing, right? When you use it to your advantage. We met Facebook. Okay. I sent Jason a message, and it was about doing because I saw he had someone, and I don't know who it was, Jay. You probably let me know. But someone shared his post. Mm. And I was like, man, that's awesome. It was the young boy, either he was shot or something where you took...
Oh, yeah, the little kid. I forget his name.
You took something to him.
Yeah, so a little kid at the time, he's probably...
30 yeah, now, yeah, right?
He was a little kid. He had been shot in the back. And... and it actually wasn't too far from here in South Fulton. And he was on the news. And when he aired on the news, he had on a Mr. E T-shirt. Because I had been to his sister's school. And his sister had won one of my T-shirts.
Wow.
And so she gave it to him. And, you know, he just outside playing. And next thing you know, my messages are blowing up. All my mentions and acts or whatever. Hey, man, this kid's wearing your shirt on the news. This kid's wearing your shirt on the news. He got shot. I'm like, whoa, wait.
So
I had to go back and see. So I had to go back. And I went back and I saw the story.
Yeah.
I reached out to the reporter. And I was like, you know, I want to come and give the kids something else, let them know who I am, reconnect with the sister, the family, give my best to them, so on and so forth. And I actually went over, met them, gave them a poster, one of my posters at the time, you know, took a picture with them and sent it back. And that was love. But that's how we met. Yeah.
That's it. And I saw that and I was like, man, I was so moved by the story. And I was like, man, that looks like a good brother. So I reached out to him on Facebook Messenger, and I was like, or then it was Facebook chat. It was right. I said, hey, man, I love what you're doing. Just would love. Let's see how we can collaborate on something.
What'd right. I say?
I don't remember what you said. I don't think you were feeling it. I wasn't at first.
Because I just got finished working with another guy. Who, you know, kind of ran game.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is. Shout out to him because he's doing well. He didn't mean no harm, but it is what it is.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Sure.
And so it wasn't the best situation. And so I had a little sour taste in my mouth.
Yeah, that's right.
Here comes Mr. Bob. I want to do some work. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
What I did was I had to look Bob up. I had to research him, and so social media again.
That's right.
I can see everything and do. You drop his name in Google or whatever. Yeah. You look through some photos. It's like, okay, he looks like he is about the work.
Right.
That's the one thing that we've always been, real serious about. It's like whenever we work with somebody, they have to be about the work. We are education, social entrepreneurs. That's not what we do. That is who we are.
That's right.
So if you're not about that, I mean, if you want to speak, sure, go ahead. Blessings to you.
Yeah, that's right.
If you want to, you know, get an opportunity, sure, we get opportunity.
That's right. Go for it. That's right.
But if you want to get into this circle of work that we do, you have to be about this work. And that's how we, once I figured that out about him, I was like, okay, yeah, we can.
Yeah. Because if not, you expose yourself. And it creates a level that it's hard to be trusted in this field, you know, because you're talking when you have schools or you bring somebody along.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like, you know, it's something else that pops up. You're like, man, you know, we just had you today talking about don't use drugs. but you carrying 3 or 4 keys with you in the school zone. That's right. The car you drove here.
Right.
You know,
and,
so.
And you have the folks who overpromote and underdeliver.
Oh yeah, yeah. It is
a lot of that.
It everywhere. So when you find someone like Jay, it's like, man, we gotta make sure we keep this thing tight, locked. Yeah. You know, even when there were no paying gigs.
Yeah.
We still made it work. Yeah. And I think one of the first events that I hosted was the Men's Warehouse, the Power of the Knot.
Second one. The first one was Hype for Education. Okay. The first Hype for Education.
Okay. Yeah. So that's when, like, everybody, Willie Whitehead Jr.
Yep.
We had Shekinah.
Shekinah was there.
Who else?
Oh, Thomas with the ties, with the bow ties. Was he there?
But also,
the gentleman's thing, he was there.
Yeah, Ernest Moore was there. Desiree Lee was there.
Yes.
Slam. I mean, everybody. Yeah. So it was like, man, and that was the first Hype for Education because it was trying to get people to see, because everybody was trying to, I can speak for myself. You know, it was like I'm trying to collaborate with people. You know, y'all hosting something, but like, y'all want to do this thing, but y'all just keeping it a little too hood right now.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like, no. So why are y'all trying to host something on Saturdays when the kids are in school Monday through Friday?
Right.
Why can't we build something? Oh, we don't want to go in schools. You know, that's not where it's at. It's like, you know what? And that's how the Hype for Education was born.
Mm.
You know, let's go to the kids. Why are we trying to spend all of this money to get the kids come to us, and right. We just bring everybody out, and if you're on that field, then it's playing time.
That's it. And we've been rocking. That was what, 2010, 9?
I believe 2009.
And so we were like 11 years
deep into this friendship. It's been good, man.
Absolutely wonderful, man. We've done all kinds of stuff. We've done trainings together. We've gone to schools. Done conferences and professional developments.
That's right.
He had me come out to the Boys and Girls Club. I've had him come out to the schools where I worked.
Yeah.
It's just been a beautiful friendship, man. So, absolutely.
And that's what it takes. You know, we know a lot of people, but the association is a lot smaller because it's kind of like Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And when you look at every you're going to have, somebody's going to be representing one of those doors. I just hate to say it, right? I'm just being honest. So when you find people who understand, like, the whole thing and who can go in, and I say, Jay, that's so-and-so, watch out.
Yeah, yeah.
Or, you know, if you say, hey, Bob, you know what I mean? It's like, okay, well, that's Sleepy, or that's Latchy, you know. They're going to be here now, you know, because it's hype.
And just even for our circle, we got a solid circle.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Oh, man.
Big
time. Keenan Walker.
Yep.
Mike and Doretha White.
That's right.
Me, you. Yep. Shekinah.
That's right.
I mean, just a tight circle of folk. Brian Rice over in Birmingham. I mean, just a real. Just a real tight circle of folks who we can always lean on.
Yeah.
And that's why one of Bob's favorite quotes that I have is, if you show me your friends, I'll show you your future.
Yeah.
So the people that you are around, they're going to create what your personality is, how you talk to people, how you do your work, and all that stuff. So having these brothers and sisters around me, knowing I can like watch them and make sure I keep myself together, it's one of the most invaluable things that I picked up as an adult.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't get old. We just get old, but you know, it doesn't get old when you look at, because there were people who were, and I said this the other day, is you had people who were trying to latch on to what was popular, right?
Yeah.
We latched on to what was promised. And that promise was what we said, hey, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
And the ones who were trying to be pop, they had their run, right? Mm-hmm. But it's no sustainability in popularity.
Right. That's
it. Because trends go up and down. And with that whole popularity ride, you can see now they fish for anything.
Yes.
You know, and it's like, what y'all doing? You speaking to daycares now.
Right.
Oh, you know, you okay, so now you over, it's like, what are y'all doing?
Yeah.
because not everyone, in order to be at a level of service, you have to have that audience who's ready to be served.
Right.
And people pay for content and distribution. Mm. They don't pay for motivation no more, right? Mm-hmm. They get motivation because right. that's who we are. But if we need to break it down from a standpoint of providing substance and content, mm-hmm. we can do that.
Right.
A lot of people ain't got nothing to talk about after they motivate you or after they get you to this point.
Yes.
It's like you can have a good story, but the anecdotal, you know, content, where is yeah. it at?
They want to teach the class but don't have a curriculum.
Right? Oh yeah, at all. You know, they pulling what they've heard off, you know, internet or you know, I had somebody talk about they were trying to tell me one time about what we need to do for our summer program.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, well then they said, "Well, I ran a day camp in 10 weeks of summer is totally different."
Right.
With 1,100 kids.
Right.
You know, so, but not to get off the point, but this whole journey is about believing in yourself mm. and having others who don't believe, who don't believe in the hype.
Yeah.
You know, because yeah. it's easy to get caught up in the hype.
Absolutely.
From that way, so.
Absolutely, man. One time again, man, thank you for that. JJ, I think we can start to wrap this up, man. This has been an outstanding conversation.
It's been a great episode.
Did you pick up something?
I sure did. I picked up a lot.
Oh, man.
I picked up and started thinking of things that everyone else should be thinking about.
Yeah.
We should invent something.
You got to invent something.
JJ,
I'm glad you said that. You have invented a podcast.
There you go.
It can be something it's not necessarily a YONO clip. I can't hold a hand. But you invented this podcast. This is your invention. Mm-hmm. I called it your baby.
Yes.
Grow your baby and take care of your baby. It's yours, though. That's the thing. This is that alchemy I was telling you about in the other episode.
Hell yeah.
That supreme alchemy. It's in your mind. You're going to have it. And you work, you think, or you dream about it. And then the next thing you know, it's out. And it's in the public. And people are responding to it. That's the same thing happened with the YONO clip. That's
right.
How we have the Jason and Justin show. It's because we have it inside and bring it outside. So, man, keep that up, man. Blessing you, Bob. Yes.
Yeah, and the thing about, and the question may come up, well, how do you go forward with the idea or whatnot? So when we talk about, you know, creating something, I look at it as this. There's three sides to business from my standpoint, okay? There's the beginning, there's the end, and the solution, right? Mm. The solution equals solving, right? The solution solves a problem.
Yep.
People pay people to solve problems.
Right.
I don't care what you think. They don't give you popcorn.
Right.
They pay people to solve problems.
Yeah,
right.
That makes sense.
And if you're a good person, right, you understand people.
Right.
Managing people to understand their problems that you're going to solve will make you a millionaire. Very simple. Don't look at it as, is this an idea?
A good idea.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? Because what happens is most people say, I got an idea. And I say, well, ask the question, is it a good idea? And you should not be able to answer that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't answer my call where I said, I just said, I got a good idea. When I called Jason, he validated for me, this is a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can't buy 1 million YONO clips.
Right.
I have to get other people who see this as a good idea,
that's
a solution to a problem they need solving, that's going to buy the 1 million right. YONO clips.
That's
so
it.
Remember the beginning, the end, and the solution.
The beginning, the end, the solution. I know I've asked JJ a few times, just to kind of trigger his mind, what problem are you going to solve in the world?
Yeah.
Right? That's what it's about.
That's it.
It's about finding what a hole. Is stuff wrong everywhere?
Yes.
It's all kinds of stuff that's wrong that needs something, that needs you to solve it.
That's right.
What it is just yet, you may not know, you may not see, but we just want to make sure that you are moving in a direction so that you can set yourself up so that when it's time for you to solve that problem, you have all the skills there.
That's right. Right.
That's why doing your thing in college is going to be important. Getting those internships and that exposure is going to be important. That's why when we lived overseas, that was important.
Oh,
you
yeah.
living in this house
yeah.
is important. You having a dog is important. Because we don't know what problems it is that you're going to solve, right? But when it's time for you to solve it, you're going to say, yep, I know this, I know this, yeah. I have this. Mm-hmm. And that's what it's all about, man.
Yeah.
So let's do this, man. Let's go into the motivation of the day.
Yes.
All right? Motivation of the day. But it's actually going to be a little different this time.
Okay.
The motivation of the day is actually going to be a fatherhood moment, because there's a situation that just happened a couple days ago with a prominent father and his son. We all know who Kirk Franklin is, right?
Yes.
Kirk Franklin has a son, and apparently they don't have a good relationship.
All right.
The son recorded a conversation that he was having with his father, Kirk Franklin, and Kirk Franklin said some very grown man words in the conversation.
Grown man words?
Grown man words.
Okay.
And so, you know, he's cussing him out. He's saying, I'm going to do this and this, that, and the other. And so, you know, he set him up, got the sound bite, put it on Instagram, tried to put his daddy on blast, right?
Right.
So as a father, seeing this, and here's the one thing that we have to remember. His son, 33 years old. 33 years old. All right, so.
Sir, you have a family to take.
Listen.
What are you.
Listen. So, we're going to do this motivation like this. Mm-hmm. His son, Kirk Frankenstein, I don't know his name. My opinion is this. Of course, number one, when two grown men are talking.
Yes.
That ain't nobody else's business, number one. So you already broke man law,
yeah.
Number 312, by sharing your conversations outside of that, what a conversation's supposed to be. It's man law number 312. You're wrong right there, number one. Number two, when there's an issue between a father and a son, you got to squash that issue between your father and your son.
Right. No
that's
one what, else.
That's between
no.
us. You and I have had issues before.
Yeah.
I've said grown man words to you.
That's correct.
I won't say said. I say grown man words to you.
This is true.
And, you know, I've gotten heated because JJ needs tune-ups. You're a young man. You do some stuff I don't like. We got to get you straight. It is what it is. But the point that I want to make as a father is his son should be glad that Kirk Franklin got upset. Mm-hmm. Because him getting upset means that he cares about him.
Yeah.
He cares about the situation. He has love in that situation. The fact that you are even... I'm even allowing myself to become upset about this situation shows that I care about the outcome of the situation. Because if I was quiet, if I didn't say anything, if I said, yeah, whatever, do what you want to do,
then it's a problem.
And I didn't care, oh, it's done. The situation is dead.
Right.
It's finished. So while this man is trying to, you know, get these points on airing out his dad's dirt, he better be careful, because if Kirk Franklin were to say, you know what, you're cut off.
Yeah.
No more money for me, no more support for me, you might as well, you know, you can keep the name, you can say you're my son, whatever, but don't come around here no more. Once he says that,
it's over.
It's done.
It's wraps.
Because I can guarantee you, this young man is living off the Kirk Franklin name.
No.
He ain't turning one check back. He ain't sending one check back to his daddy.
This ain't no young man. Yep. Full grown adult.
This is a whole man.
This is a whole man.
You graduate college at age 23.
Yeah.
We are 10 years beyond that. So you got a whole life that you need to be taken care of, but you're trying to screenshot. I mean, that's the obvious part. My thing is this, man. You better be glad that he's getting mad.
Mm-hmm.
Be glad he's getting mad. Because if he's getting upset and you're able to make him upset, that means that man loves you.
Yeah. And, like, every time y'all, like, annoy me, which y'all do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I just have to remind myself, they're doing this because they love me.
Yeah, you better take that deep breath, too.
Yeah, every time. It's just the...
Yeah, because we'll get them. Because, you know, my thing with JJ is, my fear for JJ once he goes to the next level is his level of responsibility. Just full disclosure.
Yeah, yeah.
I got to remind JJ to do a lot of stuff. And I'm hopeful that he's going to, you know, get it together once he gets away from us. But that's just the parent in me.
Yeah.
And it's the comfort in him, because we got a decent situation here.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's a blessing.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? It's a blessing that, you know, has somebody remind him to do this, that, and the other. He's like, I just wait for them to tell me. Yeah. I ain't got to do nothing.
I can go back.
Right. I just go to the room. Go to the playroom. Yeah, and they tell me to do something. Okay. Yeah, I'll do it. So I get that. But that's that. It builds some of that fear. But I am confident, and we are hopeful, that once he gets on his own, you know, he may have to go through some transition, just getting used to not hearing us in his ear.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
But once he does, that he'll start to thrive.
Yeah.
But it's because we care that we fuss. It's because we care that we argue. It's because we care we raise our voice. And are there ways to balance that from a psychology standpoint? Of course it is. You have to, once you understand, you know, the personality of your child, and your own personality and your issues compared to your child's issues, there's some things that you can balance. But the fact that I'm putting energy into it at all, it shows. That's what matters. That it shows that I actually care about you. So, blessing to Kirk Franklin. Blessings to his son. This could be a phase, because transitions happen. When you are attached to something and you try to become detached, there's a psychology in that.
You've been enabled
to do certain things, and then they say, no, it's time for you to take your stuff. Yeah. Oh, now, you know, it's a detachment situation.
I look at it as, and I'm not going to say much here, but... Yeah. It reminds me, you remember the movie Denzel Washington, Fences, right?
Yes. Right? Yes.
When he said, hey, Dad, he said, do you love me?
Mm-hmm.
He was like, what you mean? Do I love you?
Right.
Do you
do all this around here?
Yeah. I mean, same thing. And when I heard it, that's what came in my mind. And a part of that movie, his son tried to challenge his dad.
That's it.
He was like, I'll get this bat and use it. But the bat, in this case, was the recording.
That's it.
Saying, I'll do, you know, but at the end, it was like, hey, like he said, you gonna take, if you pick it up, you better use it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's the there's a certain thing with loyalty that I have. If I no longer see you for who I've seen you as, I don't care who you are to me.
Yeah.
But once that loyalty barrier has been broken, it's nothing else that I can provide for you, say to you, anything.
Yeah.
That's it. You know, it's the mafia, and that's what people they say, oh, they're the mafia. Mafia will kill. No, mafia, they eliminate this loyalty.
That's it.
You know, it's not about family. Yeah. It's not about. Like Denzel said in American Gangs, he said, "Brother, if you want my brother, I'll kill you."
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Because it was a certain level of love there.
Yeah, you know, but
he also wanted him to know, like, we don't play these games.
You can't play like that.
This is, I'm family, so I'm teaching you this.
That's it.
But if you want my brother, look here, I will kill you for this.
And that's exactly what Kirk was saying.
you
don't understand what happened.
Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna be quick because
I get it.
I understand that.
I get it. 100. As soon as I heard it, I was like, I don't see the problem here.
Yeah.
And so, again, just to close this out and wrap the show, man, blessings to Kirk Franklin, blessings to his son. I hope they get through this in a productive way.
Yes.
All right. So they can do this amicably. Way. Right. And we don't need to know about it. That's the thing.
That's
we don't need to hear nothing else about this. I don't care about no interview. That's a man and his son.
If anything, they could just tell us that we squashed it. We're good now.
They got to tell us that.
No.
They got to say nothing. That's their business.
True.
You know what I mean? They let them have their bit, and we got our bit. Like, don't nobody know how I be chomping you out.
No, they don't.
And they don't need to. You know what I'm saying? It ain't nobody.
That is a father and son relationship.
That's it.
Just like a mother. If we want to go there, I think let's talk about the natural born animosity between two black women being mother and daughter.
It's gonna happen.
It is, right?
Yeah.
Because women thrive off or feed off of love, and it's by nature that regardless if you're the husband, if you're the brother, if you're whomever, you're gonna fight for that attention.
Yeah.
Just naturally.
Yeah.
Because of this crate, but I'm not gonna get into that. It's just that folk have business and folks have families. And people who are not part of their family need to stay out of their business.
That's it.
And call it as that.
That's
it. You know, and everybody will be A-okay. And when we talk about two grown men, that draws the line
right there. That's a grown man, 33 years old. Yeah. Talk to him, Daddy. I'll fix that, man. So, again, thank you guys again for tuning in.
Yes,
to
thank the you so much.
To this episode of the Jason
and Justin Show. Yes, sir.
Best of y'all. Thank you, Bob, for being here, brother.
Yeah, all day. All day.
Thank you, man. Yes, thank you so much. Yes, sir. And we will see y'all on the next episode. Y'all have a good one.
Yeah.
Peace. We out.